Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem by Ram Goldar, and today we're Masechus Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed, the fourth parak, Yom Tov. Masechus Rosh Hashanah has been generously sponsored as a schus for Chai Bas Esther. So the three drops are going to focus on number one, the Mishnah and Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis Brada Machlokas, regarding Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's enactment of blowing the shofar on Shabbos after the Churban. Malazar said he only enacted blowing the shofar in Yavne. The Chachamim said to him that he instituted both for Yavne and for any place in which there's a basin. Rav Huna said, v'im basin, and the blowing must be done with basin. The Gemara brings two versions of Rav Huna's statement. The first version explains that im basin means bifnei basin, lafuki shlo bifnei basin delo, in the presence of basin, and Rav Huna comes to exclude blowing outside the presence of basin, which must not be done. The mere existence of a basin in a city is not an adequate deterrent to prevent people from carrying a shofar in Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. The Gemara clarifies the Mishnah that the additional mila that Yerushalayim had over Yavne was that in Yerushalayim, the shofar was blown on Shabbos both in the presence of Basin and not in the presence of Basin. Pointing between the next Mishnah states, Brishona Yeluv Nitol B'Mikdash Shiva, originally in the days of the Basin Mikdash, the Luv was taken in the temple all 7 days of Sukkot, U'B'Medina Yom Echad, and in the provinces on only one day, being the first day. When the Basin Mikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai instituted that the Luv be taken in the provinces all 7 days of Sukkot, Zechir HaMikdash, as a remembrance of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara asked for the source that we're bidden to make a Zechir HaMikdash, and Riochan said that it states in Yirmiyahu, "For I will make a cure for you, and from your wounds I will heal you," the word of Hashem. Ki nidocha karulach, for they, referring to the nations of the world, called you discarded one, Tzion hi dorish einla, saying she is Tzion, there is none who seek her. From the words dorish einla, there is none who seek her, but called the boy Drisha, it's implied that she requires seeking. Yochanan Zakkai determined that the way to fulfill this is to perform the mitzvah lulav the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash. And pointing between the next Mishnah states, Brishonei Mekabelin Eidus HaChodesh Kol HaYom. Originally they accepted Eidus HaChodesh all day. It once occurred that the witnesses were delayed in coming, Niskalkulu HaLevim B'Shir, and the Levim went awry in the singing of the daily Shir. Consequently, the Chachamim instituted that Basin should only accept witnesses until the Mincha, referring to the afternoon Tamid, and if they came from Mincha onward on Rosh Hashanah, they would observe that day and the following day as holy. The Gemara asked them, which way did the Levim go awry? In Bava, they explained, Shulam Rushira Kol Iker, that the Levim did not recite a Shira at all. Rashi explains that because they were unsure whether witnesses would arrive later in the day and it would be declared Yantiv, or they would not come, and it would remain a weekday, they recited neither Shira. Rabbi Zera in Eretz Yisrael said, Sha'amru Shira Shalchol im Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim, that they recited the weekday Shira with the afternoon Tamid. Challenges to the Chachamim's opinion in Bavo are brought, but are unsuccessful. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah and Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis Brada Machlokas regarding Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's enactment blowing the shofar on Shabbos after the Churban. Malazar said he only enacted blowing the shofar in Yavne. The Chachamim said to him that he instituted both for Yavne and for any place in which there's a basin. Rav Huna said, v'im basin, and the blowing must be done with basin. The Gemara brings two versions of Rav Huna's statement. The first version explains that im basin means bifnei basin, lafuki shlo bifnei basin delo, in the presence of basin, and Rav Huna comes to exclude blowing outside the presence of basin, which must not be done. The mere existence of a basin in a city is not an adequate deterrent to prevent people from carrying a shofar in Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. The Gemara clarifies the Mishnah that the additional mila that Yerushalayim had over Yavne was that in Yerushalayim the shofar was blown on Shabbos both in the presence of Basin and not in the presence of Basin. Pointing between the next Mishnah states, Barishonei Yeluv Nito B'Mikdash Shiva. Originally in the days of the Basin Mikdash, the Luv was taken in the temple all 7 days of Sukkot, U'B'Medina Yom Echad, and in the provinces on only one day, being the first day. When the Basin Mikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai instituted that the Luv be taken in the provinces all 7 days of Sukkot, Zechir HaMikdash, as a remembrance of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara asked for the source that we're bidden to make a Zechir HaMikdash, and Rabbi Yochanan said that it states in Yirmiyahu, "For I will make a cure for you, and from your wounds I will heal you," the word of Hashem, "Ki nedocha karulach, for they," referring to the nations of the world, "called you discarded one, Tzion hi dorish einla," saying, "She is Tzion, there is none who seek her." From the words dorish einla, there is none who seek her, but called the boy Drisha, it's implied that she requires seeking. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai determined that the way to fulfill this is through performing the mitzvah aluv the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash. Pointing with three, the next Mishnah states, Rishoni Mekabim Eidus HaChodesh Kol Yom. Originally, they accepted Eidus HaChodesh all day. It once occurred that the witnesses were delayed in coming, Niskalkulu Levim B'Shir, and the Levim went awry in the singing of the daily Shir. Consequently, the Chachamim instituted that basin should only accept witnesses until the mincha, referring to the afternoon in Tamid, and if they came from mincha onward on Rosh Hashanah, they would observe that day and the following day as holy. The Gemara asks them, which way did the Levim go awry? In Bavel, they explain, Shulamru Shira Kol Iker, that the Levim did not recite a Shira at all. Rashi explains that because they were unsure whether witnesses would arrive later in the day and it would be declared Yantiv, or they would not come and it would remain a weekday, they recited neither Shira. Rabbi Zera in Eretz Yisrael said, Shamru Shira Shel Chol Im Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, that they recited the weekday Shira with the afternoon Tamid. Challenges of the Chachamim's opinion in Bavel are brought, but are unsuccessful. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Lamed, and our standard Simmon is Melamed, a Rebbe. So here goes. The Rebbe who was waiting with his Talmidim to listen to the shofar blowing on Shabbos outside of Beis Din decided to do something as a Zecher LeMikdash. So he held a class discussion if the Levim should sing the Shir Shel Yom if any for the Chodesh are delayed in coming. Once again, it's a motion. The Rebbe, that must be more Daf Lamed, Melamed. The Rebbe who was waiting with his Talmidim to listen to the shofar blowing on Shabbos outside of Beis Din. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Chav Tes on the base brought him across regarding Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai's enactment of blowing the shofar on Shabbos after the Churban. Rabbi Lezer said he only enacted blowing the shofar in Yavne, and the Chami said to him that he instituted both for Yavne and for any place in which there's a basin. Rav Huna said the im basin, and the blowing must be done with basin. The first version of Rav Huna's statement explains that im basin means in the presence of basin. The mere existence of a basin in a city is not an adequate deterrent to prevent people from carrying the shofar and rishus of rabim on Shabbos. So the Rebbe was waiting with his Talmidim to listen to the shofar blowing on Shabbos outside a Beis Din, decided to do something as a Zecher HaMikdash, which reminds us when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, when Yochim and Zakkai instituted that they would be taking the provinces all 7 days of Sukkot, Zecher HaMikdash, as a remembrance of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara brings a source that we're bidden to make a Zecher HaMikdash from the Pasuk Tzion Hi Dorish Einla, saying, she is Tzion, there is none who seek her. From the words Dorish Einla, there is none who seek her, Mikal, the boy Drisha. It's implied that she requires seeking. So the Rebbe was waiting with his Talmidim to listen to the shofar blowing on Shabbos outside of Beis Din, decided to do something as a Zecher HaMikdash. So he held a class discussion if the Levim should sing the Shir Shel Yom if any of the Chodesh are delayed in coming. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Rishonim becoming Eidus HaChodesh Kol Yom, originally they accepted Eidus HaChodesh all day. It once occurred that the witnesses were delayed in coming, meaning it's called Levim Bashir, and the Levim went awry in the singing the daily Shir. Consequently, the Chachamim instituted the basin should only accept Eidim until the Mincha, referring to the afternoon Tamid, and if they came from Mincha onward on Rosh Hashanah, they would observe that day and the following day as holy. The Gemara asks them, which way did the Levim go awry? In Bavel, they explain, Shulamru Shira Kol Iker, that the Levim did not recite a Shir at all. Rabbi Zera in Eretz Yisrael said, Shamru Shira Shel Chol Im Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, that they recited the weekday Shira with the afternoon Tamid. So once again, the Rebbe, who was waiting with his Talmidim to listen to the shofar blowing on Shabbos outside of Beis Din, decided to do something as a Zecher HaMikdash. So he held a class discussion if the Levim should sing the Shir Shel Yom if any for the Chodesh are delayed in coming. All right, now it's time for 4 Blah Bach Chazar. Chavav, so the Simmer Daf Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. The soldier who mistakenly wore a cow horn on his helmet for the coup. Coup? That must be wearing Daf Chavav. The soldier mistakenly wore a cow horn on his helmet for the coup, unlike the others who wore shofars of other animals, which reminds us that the Chachamim hold that all types of horns are kosher to be used as shofars except for cow horns because they're called Karen's horns and not shofars. Rav Yossi holds that all horns are called Karen's as well, and he brings a pasuk to expand that a cow horn is also referred to as a shofar. So the soldier mistakenly wore a cow horn on his helmet for the coup, unlike the others who wore shofars of other animals, was forced to remove the gold stitching from his white garments, which reminds us two additional reasons are given why the Chachamim do not permit cow horns as shofars. Ula said it's based on the principle of Ein Kategor Nase Senegor. Just as the Kohen Gadol does not wear gold when he goes into the Kodesh Kodashim in Yom Kippur, because it recalls the sin of the Egel Zahav, using a cow horn as a shofar also recalls the sin of the Egel Zahav. Abai says the reason is because the pasuk calls for a single shofar. Not like a cow's horn, since it's composed of individual shells, it appears like two or three shofars. So the soldier mistakenly wore a cow horn on his helmet for the coup, unlike the others who were shofars of other animals, was forced to remove the gold stitching from his white garments and bend down in submission on Rosh Hashanah and blow a bent shofar. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yehuda holds that one should use a bent shofar on Rosh Hashanah to reflect a sense of submission and a straight one on the Yom Kippur of Yovel to reflect freedom. The Tanakhama holds a straight one should be used on Rosh Hashanah and a bent one should be used on fast days. Daf Chav Zayin, so the Simmer Daf Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. The two kids who proudly blew their silver kazoos, that must be more on Daf Chav Zayin. The two kids who proudly blew their silver kazoos, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis stated regarding blowing the shofar Rosh Hashanah in the base of Migdash, the two trumpets are blown at the sides. The shofar Marich, v'chatzos is mekatzos, shemitzos a yom b'shofar. The shofar blast is extended, the trumpets blow short, for the midst of the day is with the shofar. The Gemara clarifies that two sounds from two people are discernible in certain circumstances, such as in the case of Halal and Megill, where even 10 people can read them simultaneously, kevin dochaviv yahiv daite. Since each of these readings are dear to the listener, he puts his mind to discern every word. Here too, since the mitzvah of shofar is dear, he puts his mind to hear the sound of the shofar while the trumpets are blown. So the two kids who probably blew their silver kazoos, as the Baal Tekeah blew a shofar, whose mouth was plated in gold, which reminds us, the Mishnah says that the mouth of the shofar blown on Rosh Hashanah in the base of Migdash is plated with gold, whereas the mouths of shofars blown on fast days are plated with silver. Two reasons are given for the difference. If you prefer, you can say every assembly is convened with silver instruments based on the Pasuk, or you can say a Torah Chasam, Mamon and She Yisrael. The Torah was concerned for Yisrael's money and did not want to burn the communal treasury with the expense of plating with gold. The Gemara said if there's a monetary burden, then the shofar of Rosh Hashanah should also be plated with silver, and answers, Afil Hachi, Kavid Yantav Adif. Nevertheless, contributing to the honor of Rosh Hashanah by plating the shofar with gold is a greater consideration. So the two kids who probably blew their silver kazoos, as the Baal Tekeah blew a shofar, whose mouth was plated in gold, were appalled when their friend blew into his kazoo from the wrong end. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa hafku v'takabo u'yatza, if he reversed the shofar and blew into it, he's not fulfilled his chiv. The Torah says, v'havarta, and shall cause a truah to pass. This teaches derech havarasu be'inan, that we require the shofar to be blown in a manner in which it is carried on the animal's head, meaning with the original narrow end still narrow and the original wide end still wide. Dav chav ches. So the simmer dav chav ches is a strong man. So here goes. The strong man, that must be more on dav chav ches. The strong man who blew with all of his might into a shofar that was taken from an ola, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda holds one should not blow the shofar of an ola, but if he did, he has fulfilled his chiyuv, whereas one should not blow the shofar of a shalmi. If he did, he hasn't fulfilled his chiyuv. What's the difference between them? Ola is bas me'ila, and ola is subject to me'ila. Therefore, once he blew its horn and thereby committed me'ila with it, the horn goes out to the unconsecrated state. Rava say that one does fulfill his chiyuv with both of them because mitzvahs love hanisni. The mitzvahs were not given to Yisrael for the purpose of deriving benefit from the fulfillment. Rashi explains that they were given as a yoke upon one's neck. So the strong man who blew with all of his might into a shofar that was taken from an ola to play his favorite song, which reminds us, Rava said that a ruling that one who is forced to eat matzah is yotzi's chiyuv indicates that one who blows a shofar in Rosh Hashanah for the purpose of playing a song has also fulfilled his chiyuv. Rav is coming to teach that one might have thought in the case of matzah, echo matzah amarachmanu b'ha'acho. The Torah said, eat matzah, and this coerced person, in fact, ate matzah and fulfilled the mitzvah. Whereas in the second case, zikron truoksiv, it's written that on Rosh Hashanah there shall be a remembrance of shofar blast, v'hai masasik ba'amahu, and this one is merely a preoccupied individual, and therefore does not fulfill the mitzvah. Kamash mo'an, that Rav is coming to inform us that they are indeed analogous, and the shofar blower also fulfills his chiyuv. So from here we see the Rav holds, mitzvahs ein tzrichos kavana. Mitzvahs do not require kavana. So the strong man who blew with all of his might into a shofar that was taken from an ola to play his favorite song couldn't wake up his friend who went to sleep in a sukkah on the eighth day of sukkahs with kavana. Which reminds us that Rebbe rules regarding a case where one sleeps in a sukkah on the eighth day, that with respect to violating Baal Tosiv, the rule is that during the mitzvah's designated time, kavana is not required. Shelo bezmano boy kavana, but not during its designated time, it does require kavana. Daf Chav Tes. So the simmer Daf Chav Tes is a cot. So here goes. The man sitting on the cot, that must be more in Daf Chav Tes. The man sitting on the cot with his arms raised in the air, which reminds me, we learn from Moshe raising his hands in the Mochama with a Malik, that Kol Zman Shai Yisrael Mestakim Klapei Malo, so long as Yisrael gazed upward, Meshabim Yisliban Levihim Sheshamayim, Haim Yisgabrim, and subjugate their heart to their Father in heaven, they would prevail, but if not, they would fall. The same lesson is learned from the Nachash and the Choshes that was placed on a pole so that those afflicted in the plague would look up to Avihem Sheshamayim. So the man sitting on the cot with his arms raised in the air was surrounded by Kohanim and Levim, who'd gathered to listen to the blowing of the shofar, which reminds us that it was necessary for the Tan to teach that Kohanim and Levim are chayiv in tekiyah shofar, for if he had not done so, you might have said that since we learned in the Mishnah, Shabbat Yovel Rosh Hashanah, tekiyah habrachos, the laws of the Yovel year are identical to the laws of Rosh Hashanah with regard to the blowing and the habrachos, only someone who's subject to Yovel in its entirety is chayiv in the tekiyah of Rosh Hashanah. But Kohanim and Levim, since they're not subject to the laws of Yovel year in its entirety, since Kohanim and Levim may sell their property at any time and may redeem it at any time, we would say that they're not obligated to miss the Kiyah Shofar from Rosh Hashanah. Kamashmon, the Tana therefore informs us that they are indeed Chayiv. So the man sitting on the cot with his arms raised in the air was surrounded by Kohanim and Levim, who gathered to listen to the blowing of the shofar. that the head of Basin said to blow on Shabbos. Which reminds us of how Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted blowing the shofar by Basin in Yavda on Shabbos after the Churban of Bai Sheni. He told the B'nai ben Aseret that they should blow and then they'll deliberate. And after it was blown, he said, the horn has been heard on Shabbos in Yavda and one should not refute Basin after the deed has been done. Rashi explains that if they now forbid blowing even in Basin, people will say their blowing was done in error, which will expose them to ridicule. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman, Zichron, wishing you a great day and great learning.